I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for our meditation this afternoon is How Should a Believer Pray for Healing? And the text is taken from Isaiah chapter 38, verses 3 and 9 to 20. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for every opportunity we have to listen to Your word. Lord, we are grateful to Thee that You have not only saved us, but You have given to us Thy word and Thy spirit, who speaks to us through the preaching of Thy word. We are so privileged to be in Your presence, to have this privilege to come before Thee to worship Thee. Indeed, this is a privilege that belongs only to Your children and not to the world. And Lord, indeed, we are grateful to Thee for giving us this wonderful opportunity to come before Thee. Help us not to take this for granted. Help us to treasure each, every moment that we have to come before Thee. And as we listen to Your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will do a mighty work in all of us, and speak to us, and help us to apply all the things that we have heard here in our lives. Help us not to be hearers of Thy word only, but help us to be doers of Thy word. We pray that You will forgive us of all the sins that we have committed against Thee, and cleanse us by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a great division between Christians and non-Christians. A Christian is essentially a very different people from the rest of the world. We must not look at ourselves as to be like any other people of the world. Since the beginning of time, or even before the beginning of time, God has set His eyes upon us to choose us, to elect us before the foundation of the world. He has this special grace given to us to bring us to His side, to call us His children. And we are called a peculiar treasure unto Him. We are called strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Even though we are in this world, but we are not of the world. And it is the will of God to put us in this world so that we can fulfill the task that we are given. We are to mingle with the rest of the world. We are to live among them. So this is our calling as Christians in this world. All people in this world react differently to different circumstances. In times of prosperity, in times of goodness, they will react in a certain manner. In times of difficulties, they will react in another manner. And this afternoon, I want to call our attention to a time that all of us will go through. All of us, including the people of the world. And that is a time when we all forsake. A time when we are given a certain news that we have fallen sick, or whether it be a mild sickness or terminal sickness, whatever it be, this will fall on all people of this world. We are not spared from it. People from all religions fall sick. Although God has given to each of His children eternal life, we have eternal life, but God has not promised us that we will not fall sick on this earth. During the times when we fall sick, whether it be mild illness or even terminal illness, how should we as Christians pray to Him? The religions of this world may teach its followers how to pray, how to react so as to get healing. They promise if you follow a certain method, you will get healed. But from this message that we have this afternoon, we are not here just to get a certain formula. We should pray this, then after that we should pray in another way. We are not here for a method so as to get healing. This is what the world looks for. But this is not us. We are different from the rest of the world. If we want to have a certain method in which we can get healed, we are like the rest of the world. A Christian is essentially very different from the rest of the world. How are the godless people of the world, how will they react in times like this when they fall sick? When the people of the world fall sick, they would want to get healing immediately. You can see that they pray, "Heal me," to their gods. Is this what a Christian should do when we fall sick? Well, there's nothing wrong to pray for healing. But is this the only thing that we should do in times when we are sick? Secondly, the mindset of a godless person is that they will regard sickness as an unfortunate event that should fall on them. They will regard it as a bad thing. However, is this the attitude of Christians toward sickness? And next, the people of the world want healing simply because they want to be rid of discomfort, pain, or death. But how should we as Christians regard sickness? So from this message that we have, we want to answer three questions from our passage. Number one, what should a Christian do when he or she falls sick? What should we do when we fall sick? Number one. Number two, how should a Christian regard sickness? What is your attitude towards sickness? Number three, why should a Christian be healed by God? On what basis should God heal you? Before us, in the text of our meditation this afternoon, we have a passage about a king, King Hezekiah, who was healed after his fervent prayer. We want to learn from his illness. How should a Christian deal with sickness? Now, from verses 1 to 3, we observe what are King Hezekiah's actions when he receives the outcome of his sickness, the news of his sickness. And from these three verses, we can see what should a Christian do when he falls sick. Verse 1 says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." In those days, what happened in those days? In those days, the Assyrians were attacking Israel. They were at the gates already, very near. So it was a time of extreme adversities. And Hezekiah at this time, he was sick unto death, meaning he was extremely sick. And his sickness can lead to his death. What is this sickness? We see from verse 21 of this chapter that he has boils. It says, "For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover." This illness could terminate the life of those who are affected with it almost immediately. This is a very severe illness. At the furthest, within 3 or 4 days, a person who has contracted this illness will die. 3 or 4 days. So Hezekiah would die very, very soon. Next, in our verse 1, "And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord." Notice that Isaiah went to Hezekiah. Now, he's a prophet. He represents the voice of God. Whenever he speaks, it is as if God himself is speaking. And this is confirmed by the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." And what did Isaiah say to Hezekiah? He says this, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." In other words, you are a dead man. Give instructions to your house. Tell them what to do after you die. So God is telling Hezekiah through Isaiah, write your will right now so that people will know what to do after you die. All this implies the certainty of his death. What happened here is as if someone who has received news from a doctor after a checkup, and this person is given the news that he has contracted a terminal illness. Well, doctors of this world can misdiagnose a sickness, but when God gives a prophecy about what a sickness will lead to, it is certainly that this will come to pass. Now, what would you do if you were in King Hezekiah's situation? Now, let's look at the reaction of King Hezekiah in verse 2. It says here, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." Now, at this time, he was very sick. He must be lying on a couch, and the couch must be next to a wall, and he turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Hezekiah at this time, he didn't want to show his emotions to anybody else, and so he turned his face toward the wall. And this posture of Hezekiah shows us that he is shutting out everything from the world and just turns his focus on the Lord. Some people, even so-called Christians, after having received news of contracting terminal illness, would run around wildly, panicking to find a solution. There are many different reactions that Hezekiah can react. Remember, Hezekiah is a king. He can be so displeased with Isaiah that he would kill him immediately, since he is a bearer of this bad news. But he did not. Some time ago, I heard of a certain account of a certain lady who has contracted cancer. And this lady is from a BP church. A church that is well known to all of us here, I must say. And after having received this news that she has contracted fourth stage cancer, she went to a Chinese temple to pray. Can you imagine a Christian, so-called Christian, who has been worshipping in the church for many, many years, and she had gone to a temple to pray because she was so desperate? This is not the reaction of what a Christian should react. Remember, we as Christians are essentially very different from the rest of the world. Look at verse 3, how Hezekiah prays here. "And said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Notice the way in which he prayed. He says here, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee." The language here is that of someone who seeks God with full earnestness and sincerity. Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed that when we pray, we just do it as a matter of fact. We do it out of obligations. But at the same time, we are so troubled. We are not focused on God. But here, Hezekiah turns his focus and attention on God alone. And here, if you notice from this verse, He has left out his sickness. He has caused that to be out of his mind for now. But this entire verse is all about him and God. Hezekiah begins his prayer by reminding himself of his personal relationship with God. Look at how he has addressed God. He says here, "Remember now, O Lord." In the Bible, there are two ways in which God is commonly addressed, especially in the Old Testament. Whenever we use the word God, it refers to his might, his power. But whenever the Old Testament uses the word Lord, it refers to the covenantal relationship between God and his people. Please do not read it haphazardly. It is there for a purpose. Hezekiah is reminding himself of his position, of his relationship with God in times of his sickness. Remember, in times of your sickness, you are still a child of God. You are still a Christian. You belong to God. You are not like any other people of the world, but you are a child of God. So in times of your sickness, remind yourself who you are. Don't forget that, because it is so easy to forget that during times of our adversities. And notice next, he says, "Remember now." Remember now. Will God ever forget? Recently, I preached a message about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And one phrase caught my attention. It says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered over them. What Mary heard about Jesus, she kept them in her heart. In other words, she has never forgotten anything that has happened to her child. And she weighs them in her heart. She goes through them. So that's what she did. Even as a sinner like Mary, she did that. How about God, who is sinless, who is perfect, and you as his children? Will he ever forget anything that will happen to you? No. So then, what is Hezekiah praying for, that God will remember him? In the book of Genesis, do you remember there was a phrase, God remembered Noah? It doesn't mean that God has forgotten that Noah was in the ark, but that was to show that God would do something as a result of Noah being in the ark. God would stir himself up and to do something. And so right now, Hezekiah is praying to God, God, do something now because of what has happened in the past. So Hezekiah now puts forth something that he has done in the past. And what is it? Look at the next phrase. How I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He's saying he has been well pleasing to the Lord. Before Hezekiah reached this position, reached this conclusion that he has been well pleasing to the Lord, he must have done something before that. He must have checked himself whether he has been living a life of sin or whether he has been in rebellion against God or not, so as to reach this conclusion at the end. So in all our sicknesses, we are to check ourselves. So Hezekiah, having done this, he has found himself to be pleasing to the Lord. In fact, King Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings of Israel. What did Hezekiah do? He was the son of King Ahaz. King Ahaz, he was one of the most wicked kings of Israel. King Ahaz left King Hezekiah a very wicked nation. King Ahaz built a lot of high places, and the people were idolatrous because of him. But his son, King Hezekiah, didn't follow the footsteps of his father. King Hezekiah was also compared to King David. Like in our passage, in verse 5, he was said to be... He prays this, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father." He's being compared to David, one of the greatest kings of Israel. King Hezekiah also removed a lot of high places and break down the images. He revived the sacrificial system. And he has also done this spiritual reformation. He has invited Judah to come to worship together. So he has done a lot of good deeds for the Lord. And so he has found himself pleasing to the Lord. What we should do in our sickness before we pray for healing is this. We should search ourselves. We should check ourselves whether our sickness is due to our sins or not. This is one of the first things that we must do. God may be giving you a message so that you will be stopped in your path, so that you will not go on forward in your sins. But He is trying to reach out to you by giving you this sickness. Ask yourself, what is the purpose for this sickness? Why did God give me this sickness? Well, this is not just a one-off account, because we know from the Bible that there are many other instances when God has given to His people sickness in order to give them a message. For example, in the church of Corinth, some Christians partook of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, and they fell sick and even died. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. It says, "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." It doesn't mean that they were not saved. They were saved. They were children of God. But God wants to bring this chastisement upon them, wants to punish them. And the next example I can quote you is that of Apostle Paul. He was someone who was given great revelation. God has been so merciful towards him, so gracious to him, that God even took him to the third heaven. And God said this, and Paul said this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." This instance that I've just quoted you, God gave Apostle Paul a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Perhaps for some of us, when God gave us this sickness, a particular sickness, it is to humble us so that we will not be exalted above measure, so that we will not forget that God is the one who has given to us all these things. God is the one who has enabled us to do the things that we are doing. So after figuring out the purpose of our sickness, what we must do next is that we must have a certain regard, a certain attitude towards our sickness. Having checked ourselves, whether we have sinned against God or not, we must still go through our sickness. And so what is our attitude towards our sickness? So this is the second question that we are attempting to answer right now. How should a Christian regard his or her sickness? And we can find this from verses 9 to 15. Verse 9. It says, "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness." Right now, he is at a point when he has recovered and he has written a testimony. He has reflected upon his sickness and he has written now his reflection for us. He has took time to think about his sickness and to reflect upon his recovery. Sometimes after our recovery, we forget God. We forget that God is the one who has healed us. And we go about very happily going to this place and that place, and we forget all about God. There is no testimony. There is no reflection. No giving thanks to God for what He has done. But Hezekiah has written down this wonderful testimony. Not only the people around him can learn, but we as Christians, many generations of Christians, can learn from his testimony. So, when you have recovered from your sickness, write a testimony. And tell others of the goodness of God. Do not let this wonderful opportunity to pass by you. He was so moved that he wrote this testimony as a form of thanksgiving, to show his gratitude to God, to celebrate the goodness of God for healing him. Now let's look at his attitude in his sickness. Verse 10, it says, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. King Hezekiah is preparing himself for his departure. He is actually preparing himself to die. He is having this submissiveness. The cutting off of my days, this phrase tells us that his days would be suddenly shortened. Right now, he is at the height, at the prime of his life. At this time, King Hezekiah is just 39 years old. A very young man. A very young man. But God gave him this news that he would suddenly die. If you were given a news that you will die at your young age, for those who are very young here, that God will cut off your life, how would you react? Here, King Hezekiah has this submissive spirit. When we receive news that God plans to take us home, even in the prime of our life, we should have this submissive spirit. He says that his life would be shortened. In other words, there is no more time remaining, not much time remaining for him anymore. In other words, he has accepted the will of God and he believes the words of the prophet and he has fully submitted to the will of God. Our reaction in our sickness must be that of submission and not retaliation. Sometimes we can be so worked up, so angry against God. God, why did you cut me off? I am at the height and prime of my life. It is not fair. We sometimes are so angry at God because He has given to us our sickness. But here, we see the submissiveness of King Hezekiah. And what we can see next in verse 11 should be our attitude in our sickness. It says in verse 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. In the event of terminal illness, the attitude of many Christians is that they would miss the presence and company of their loved ones. Well, this is a very natural reaction. The people of the world do that. They would miss their children, their husband, their wife, and they will not see them forever. But let us look at the reaction of King Hezekiah. He laments that he shall not see the Lord, number one, and man in the land of the living. Now let's look at the order. Notice the order in which he says this: I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord. He puts the Lord first. Notice the order. The wrong attitude of many Christians today is that we would miss our earthly relationships when we are about to depart from this earth. We would put our family first, our earthly relationships first. But no, we are to put the Lord first. And what he puts next is man in the land. Sorry, he says that he will not see the Lord in the land of the living. Now, what does it mean to see the Lord in the land of the living? God is spirit. No one can see God. What does this mean? It means that Hezekiah would miss the joy of worshipping God together with all the people that he has been worshipping God with. There is this intense sorrow in his heart that he would soon be cut off from the privilege of worshipping God. This refers to the disappointment of not being able to witness the hand of God working in this earth. King Hezekiah would miss the ability to see the power of God working in the hearts of men. Remember what I've said earlier to you? He has witnessed this powerful hand of God when God used him to reform Israel and Judah. It was a time of great spiritual revival and he was there. He witnessed it and Hezekiah would miss it. Hezekiah felt that he would not be spared to enjoy the tokens of God's divine favor upon him. That God is so good to him, he would miss all these things. If the doctor were to tell you that you have terminal illness right now, what is your correct attitude? The correct attitude is this: you will miss church life the most. You will miss coming together to worship with all the members of Tabernacle BP Church. You would miss going for evangelism. You would miss sharing the gospel with friends, with relatives. You would miss doing the work of God to serve Him. You would miss singing in the choir. You would miss all these things. This is your correct attitude when you forsake. And next, we can see what is Hezekiah's attitude. How did he regard his sickness from verses 12 to 15? He says in this section, he recognizes that God is the one who gave him his sickness. Let me point out to you the many references to God from this passage, verses 12 to 15. It says in verse 12, my age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off. With pining sickness from day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. God is the subject of all this. God is the one who has done all this. Now verse 13, I reckon till morning that has a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Now, verse 15, it says, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself have done it. King Hezekiah recognizes that God is the one who has done all this. God is the one who has given to him his sickness. Now, sometimes when we fall sick, we will easily attribute it to many things. Like, I have contracted it because of my bad diet. I have contracted this particular sickness because someone has passed it to me. And so on. We attribute it to signs. to many reasons except God. But it is very important for us to recognize that God is the one who has given to us our illness. Now, look at verse 12. What is a shepherd's tent? A shepherd's tent is a structure that is put up by the shepherd whenever he tends to his flock. So it is a temporary structure, and it will be taken down very soon when the shepherd moves to another place. This is doubtless the idea that he would soon put off his current body. It would soon be cut off, and he will die soon. And I want to point your attention to the next phrase. I have cut off like a weaver my life. What is a weaver? A weaver is a spider that weaves a web to capture flies or other creatures, insects, so that they can be his food. He has plans. A spider will have plans. He has plans to weave, to provide food for himself. But right now, it says, he is cut off. His life is cut off like someone who has just destroyed the web. And he is no more. His plans, his ambitions, his dreams, they are all cut off. And in verse 13, I reckon till morning there has a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night, will thou make an end of me. So his boil is a sickness that will give him a lot of pain and suffering during the day, up to the night. And when night comes, he will throw himself into the calm submission of the Lord, and he will wait for the morning. And when the morning comes, he will begin to suffer again. King Hezekiah is suffering very much, such that in verse 14, he cries out like a crane or a swallow and a dove. Well, these three birds are birds that let out a special note of lamentation whenever they cry. When they cry, they give off this painful, it seems like a painful, low, suppressed wail whenever they cry. So Hezekiah is going through extreme suffering. But he says in the last verse, despite God has done all that, has given him all this, and he recognizes that, he says in the last phrase, undertake for me. What does this mean? It means, be an assurance for me. Even though I go through all this suffering, assure me, Lord. I will not put you aside. I will not cut you off. I will not reject you. Even though I'm going through so much suffering right now, be my assurance. This is like what Job has said. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Recognize that God is the one who has given you your sickness. Even though God has given to you your sickness, you must remember, God is the one who has also sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come to this earth to die for you. He has not spared his own son, but to send him to this earth to die for you. If God has not spared his own son and has given to you his son, what else will he withhold from you? And since he has given to you your sickness, it means that this is your lot. You must go through it. If God has this plan to heal you, he will heal you. So submit yourself to it. And in verse 15, this is the spirit of King Hezekiah. He says to himself, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. What shall I say? He's saying here, I want words to express my deep sense of God's dealings with me. He's lost for words. But he says here, I shall go softly all my years. I will not speak anymore. I will conduct myself humbly thankfully, gratefully, and I will bring myself to God. So this is his testimony. This submissive spirit that he has. This humility that he has exhibited in his sickness. Do we have all this? Check ourselves. And next, we want to answer the question, our third question, why should we be healed? What is God's basis for healing you? Oftentimes, we just pray, Lord, heal me, or heal this particular brother or sister who has this illness. Heal this person, Lord. But we do not supply any reason for that. But as a Christian, how should we pray for another person who is sick? Or how should we pray for ourselves when we fall sick? What is God's basis for healing us? And we can find the reason in which God should heal us from verses 16 in the rest of our passage. It says in verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Now Hezekiah has attributed his recovery to these things. It says, by these things. You know, sometimes when we are healed, we will attribute it to this wonderful surgeon, this wonderful doctor, or this particular clinic that we go to, or this very effective medicine that we take. We will say to ourselves, wow, this is so good. Because of this, I'm healed. If not for all these things, I will not be healed. If not for this wonderful doctor, I will not be healed. Well, God, in no doubt, will use all these agencies to heal us. We must not neglect all these agencies. We must not neglect going to the doctors, taking medicine. We must not neglect all that. I'm not saying that we should just pray and then do nothing. But we must attribute it to something else. Attribute it to the reason by which God heals us. Verse 16, it says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. What are these things? We will see that next. Verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now, notice here, he says, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Didn't Hezekiah profess that he walked before God in truth and with a perfect heart in verse 3, I pointed to you just now? Was he a perfect man? No, certainly not. He did not have sinless perfection. But what it means is that he is a Christian like all of us who fall into sins, and we depend on the Lord to forgive us. To forgive us, to look past all our sins as a result of what Christ has done. He's like that, and so are we. God has cast all our sins behind his back. God's basis for healing you because of your sins is that he has forgiven you of all your sins. He has looked past all your sins because of Christ. You must attribute it to that fact. Not to the doctors, not to anything else. But the main reason is because of God's forgiveness. He has forgiven you out of his love. Look at this. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. He has forgiven you out of his great love for you. His love, his tender mercy, his loving kindness towards you in which He has reached out to you to heal you. And next, in verse 18, He says, "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." The grave. The grave refers to those who are dead. And death cannot celebrate thee. It refers to those people who die, cannot praise God anymore. And next in verse 19, the living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. God's basis for healing you so that you can have a longer life on this earth is so that you can serve Him and to praise Him. This is God's basis for healing you. No other reason. We are not to stay a minute longer on this earth for our pleasure, for our comfort in this life. We are not here to enjoy this earth only. This is not our main calling. Yes, we can enjoy the things of this world. No doubt we can do that. But your purpose in this life is to praise God. So when someone or the people of the world look at you, they will praise God. So that from your mouth, from your life, whenever you praise God, they will be reminded of who God is. This is your calling. This is the basis in which God would heal you. So whenever you pray that if God were to heal you, you can have more opportunities to serve Him. You can have more opportunities to praise Him, to give testimonies of His goodness. But if God were to heal you, and you retreat to a corner, and you keep your mouth shut, that is not why God healed you for. God heals you so that you can continue His work on this earth. And here, King Hezekiah says next, as a father, he says, "The father to the children shall make known thy truth." One generation of Christians is to pass on the knowledge of who God is to the next generation. This is your task. Why you are here today is to propagate God's truth to the next generation after you. You are to learn the truth from God's word. And right now, here we have sent the children to Sunday school. Those children in the Sunday school are the next generation that will come up to fill the pews in this church so that they can take over you. And they will go on next to tell of God's goodness to the next generation. So this is our task on this earth. God heals you so that you can teach your children who God is. Perhaps some of the parents here may be going through a very difficult time because of your sickness. And if you were to pray for God's healing, pray in this manner that God will heal you so that you have more time to teach your precious children who God is. Teach them what is the love of God. And so here in verse 20, "The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." We will sing all the days of our life. If God were to give you 10 more years, use those 10 more years to sing praises to the Lord. Don't waste it. Make use of all the time that God has given to you so that you can continue to praise His great name. Right now, if you have the chance to ask King Hezekiah, if he were given the choice whether he would receive the illness from God or not, I'm sure he would tell you, yes, he would want to receive the illness from God so that he could experience the goodness of God in his life. I would say this should be our attitude when we receive any illness from God. We must not retaliate, but we must be grateful that we have one opportunity, one precious opportunity, when we can experience the hand of God in our life. This is indeed our privilege as Christians on this earth. So when you are sick, whenever you are down and out, you are depressed, you are sorrowful because of your sickness, or because the people around you are sick, perhaps your loved ones are sick, do not despair, but pray for them in the manner that we have learned this afternoon. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this message that You have given to us. We as Christians are peculiar treasures unto You. We are different, O Lord, from the rest of the world. And so let us not pray as the heathen do. Help us not pray as the Gentiles, as the godless people. But let us pray as God-fearing people, that we will want to experience Your loving hand in our lives. Help us pray in a most pleasing way to You. Help us apply all these things that we have learned this morning in our lives. So, Lord, we also want to remember those who are sick among us, those who are going through a very difficult time because of their illness. Oh, Lord, may Your healing hand touch them so that they can have more years to praise Thee and glorify Thy name. We pray all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.